11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal,
scoring the goals.
It's the FA Cup third round, a tremendous weekend in the world of football, and we've got Pete Farris to have a look through some of these selected games. A little bit of value kicking around, Pete. Always nice to try and get an angle on the FA Cup as well, isn't it? You looking forward to this?
It is, yeah. This is my, I think, probably my favourite round of the FA Cup.
Really?
Probably second favourite round, maybe probably the round before. But there's certainly some great value out there, because I think what you've got a lot of this weekend is, and as much as there is a lot of prestige in the FA Cup, you've got a lot of how do managers approach this. Do they approach this as a chance to boost their form? Do they approach this as, look, there's no point trying to boost our form here, let's just try and survive or push on for promotion? And sadly, as much as I don't agree with that generally, because everyone should always be trying to win the FA Cup, it isn't realistic in today's climate. And I think that's why today there's a great deal of value to be found.
Very good. We're going to start off before the FA Cup with the League One match, which is on the telly on Friday night. That's Gillingham versus Wolves. The prices, first of all, Gillingham are 9-2 to win at home. The draw is 23-10, and Wolves are priced up at 8-11. Wolves, of course, last seen drawing with Tranmere Rovers, and a man sent off in the match, and that helped Tranmere. Then Tranmere got themselves a man sent off as well, so finished 1-1, but still second in the table. Gillingham themselves are in 17th, just 2 points above the drop zone. They last drew with Walsall at home. You'd expect Wolves to go to Gillingham and win this when you look at all the form and the league table. But their away form hasn't been great, has it? You know, they beat Notts County away from home. That's their only away win in the last five, Pete, for Wolves.
Yeah. But at the same time, you really wouldn't expect them to lose it either, would you, Lee? When
no.
You consider their only loss away from home all season has been at London Road against Peterborough. And Peterborough are one of the better teams, of course, in this league. I think fifth at the moment in the league. So it's a tricky one to try and gauge that regard. But you've got to look deeper into this match, I think. You've got to look at the fact that, you know, for Gillingham, there might be no Chris Whelpdale. Came back from injury the other day, but didn't look comfortable toward the end of the game against Walsall. You've got no Hollands, Linganzi, Weston, important players in the side. No Danny Kedwell, importantly, as well, of course, is a very important striker for them. So there is a lot of problems in terms of their actual injury list at the moment for Gillingham. And on top of that, you know, you can balance it out. I mean, Carly Kame, the Wolves goalkeeper, good goalkeeper, I think, as well. He probably won't be featuring for quite some time. He's done his scaphoid. And as somebody who's, quote-unquote, done his scaphoid several times, I know how long it takes to even be able to move your hand properly, let alone be able to be in goal for a professional football team again so quickly. So there is a lot of very, very interesting developments in terms of injuries here. Wolves, I think, without Price, Henry and Doherty as well. So not quite as important key figures as those that aren't, if they do feature, fully fit in the first place for Gillingham. I think you've got to look towards goals in this match. I think Wolves 8-11 is probably not quite good enough considering their 1-5 approach to away game football. But there are a couple of really good bets. First of all, Lee Griffiths to score and Wolves to win, I think is very, very good indeed. When you consider that, yes, away from home recently, Griffiths hasn't scored in any of the last four. Did score in a 2-2 draw against Carlisle, but he's being heavily linked at the moment with a move to Celtic, of course. He was excellent, wasn't he, last year up in Scotland, and heavily linked with a move to Celtic at the moment, with Samaras being expected to go elsewhere. So maybe he wants to put on a show, maybe he wants to say thank you to the fans, or maybe more than anything, he wants to try and drive that performance and that goal-scoring record a bit further up, so he can, A, maybe get more money in a deal. You know, and again, I don't want to be too cynical here, but these things are true, and if he wants to try and get a deal going, if Celtic see him scoring again at the weekend, that might be the goal that tips him over the edge. So that headline offer is great, a 2-1. But I think goals in this match are really good. And to look at the price of goals here, over 2.5 at 4-6, is absolutely unbelievably good. It is unbelievably good. To look at Wolves and over 2.5 match goals at 11-8 is unbelievably goodly. I mean, look at Gillingham's home games of late. 1 goal, 5 goals, 4 goals, 3 goals, 4 goals. Look at Wolves, 4-1-1. 6-2. So for Wolves, it's not quite as many, but over 2.5 is 4-6. I do actually think that Wolves win this. I mean, Gillingham have lost 2 of their last 5, and when they've played decent teams, you know, they drew against Peterborough, so fair enough, and drew against Walsall, fair enough, but lost to Leyton Orient. Even though it was a late goal, I still think that's maybe the ultimate key, the game to look at as to how they do against some of the better teams in this division. So for me, personally speaking, I think it's a Wolves win. I think overs on the goal, and I think the Griffiths headline offer a really good play.
Let's have a look at the FA Cup then, shall we? We've picked out 5 matches to have a look at. All the Premier League teams' matches are featured on The Punt with Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern. So if you want to have a listen to those, then be my guest. First up for us, Macclesfield versus Sheffield Wednesday. Macclesfield are priced up at 4-1. The draw is 12-5. Sheffield Wednesday priced up at 3-4. Macclesfield, non-league of course, but on a nice run of form at the moment. They've won 4 straight games, only conceding 2 goals in the process and scoring 10. They're still in the 11th position, but that obviously has lifted them up the table somewhat with that nice run of form. The goals coming from all over as well. One man who's got a few in that run is Chris Holdroyd, and also Scott Bowden's scored a couple as well, so having no problem scoring goals. Wednesday are 20th in the Championship. You could argue they've got a bigger fish to fry, Pete. Macclesfield only made it past this stage for the first time in their history last year when they beat Cardiff City, having failed in 9 previous attempts to get into the fourth round of the FA Cup. And Sheffield Wednesday don't have a very good record away from home in the cup either, although they against non-league opposition they tend to get the job done. I think they've won 8 of the last 9 when they've been pitted against non-league opponents. Where do you go?
I actually go with Sheffield Wednesday on this, Lee, but I'm convinced the Macclesfield score. I think the Sheffield Wednesday and both teams to score at 5-2 is really good. It's getting to the stage now where surely Sheffield Wednesday have to offer Stuart Gray the full-time deal. It's getting to that stage. I mean, you look at the most recent 5 games, a 1-0 win over Watford, a narrow loss to Bournemouth, draws against Charlton and Blackburn, admittedly games at Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, that's a mistake you don't want to make. It's like North and South Korea, that, isn't it? Yeah, basically, with their performances, you know, against Blackburn Rovers and Charlton Athletic, 2 draws, you quite frankly, you'd say they maybe would have wanted more, but they just beat Blackpool 2-0, and the confidence is high. And for me, this is a game where they're going to try and keep that confidence going. It's a different thing for me at the moment. And you'll see as I talk further in this podcast about a team using the FA Cup to try and bounce their form further, you know, keep that momentum going, and teams who maybe might ignore it because it would, yes, a win might start the momentum, but their focus has got to be elsewhere, especially in such a busy period of football matches. So this is the thing. I think Stuart Gray and I think Sheffield Wednesday will use this to try and basically kick their form further on. And yeah, I really like the look of Chris Holroyd here. You know, you look at his most recent goal-scoring exploits. And also, you know, as you said, Scott Bowden, really good of late. Bagged, I think, a brace at the weekend against Hyde, although I think I could bag a brace at the weekend against Hyde. Scored against Grimsby as well. And Grimsby aren't exactly an easy team, are they? So this is the thing for me. You've got to be looking down the barrel of Sheffield Wednesday and both teams to score at 5-2. But also, I wouldn't mind an anytime goal scorer win cast here of Holroyd anytime. So Chris Holroyd, who is part of the headline offer, but Holroyd anytime, but Sheffield Wednesday to win. 4-1 for that. Now, we know that Sheffield Wednesday, they are one of the first teams on your both teams to score double sometimes, aren't they, Lee? And certainly a team that you look at a great deal for the both teams to score. Now, yeah, hasn't landed as much under Stuart Gray. I mean, they've kept 3 clean sheets in the last 5, but I think Macclesfield score in this game. I think certainly backing against them to score at Moss Rose is hard to do, even against the Championship side. I think Holroyd any time, but Sheffield Wednesday to win at 4-1 is good. I think Wednesday win this match.
Grimsby Town versus Huddersfield Town next up. 3-1 the price for Grimsby to win this. The draw is priced up at 12-5, and Huddersfield are 10-11. Huddersfield 13th in the Championship, of course. Their recent form has been pretty much inconsistent. They lost to Burnley, they beat Oval, they drew a Derby, they drew a Brighton, they lost to Reading. They're playing some decent sides, to be fair. Grimsby, fourth in the conference national table. They drew with Lincoln and lost to Macclesfield over Christmas, so just after Christmas in the new year. Boxing Day, they beat Lincoln 2-0. The home form has been a bit sketchy recently for the Mariners as well, Pete, and they were on a tremendous run, really. Just can't seem to string the wins together now that they were doing a few weeks ago. Is this another one where the higher placed team get the job done?
No.
Okay.
No, I think Grimsby plus a goal here are well worthy of our listeners' attention. 5-6 for Grimsby plus a goal, if you fancy that. At Blundell Park, we've seen, you know, as we mentioned a moment ago, they lost to Macclesfield and they lost to Cambridge, who are second, and they've lost to Nuneaton as well. And, you know, Nuneaton were a team at the time who exploded out of the traps. So you've got to look here and say only really good teams have beaten Grimsby. But that, of course, is going to be looked in relation. They're really good conference sides, aren't they? But I don't think that Mark Robbins and Huddersfield will mind too much about going out of the FA Cup. And that sounds horrible. That sounds horrible. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying that it's any kind of conspiracy, but I don't think it'll be too annoying for them. They had a big game against Burnley, didn't they, where they put everything into the match, but in the end only lost very late on to a 3-2, didn't they? And that's the thing. They just threw everything at the game, but just couldn't quite get themselves over the line. I think there's going to be a bit of a hangover from that. And sometimes in FA Cup games, the way I like to approach them, not that I'm always right, but the way that I like to approach them is, you know, I've mentioned the wanting to and not wanting to, but also teams who are a bit meh. Teams who are going through a bit of a meh period of form are sometimes, you know, not you know, if they're going through dreadful form, managers might want to improve it. If they're going through brilliant form, they might want to sacrifice it to kind of trying to keep that brilliant form up. If they're going through meh form, it's kind of like, well, okay. I mean, Huddersfield destroyed Yeovil, didn't they? But outside of that, that's just one win in seven for them in the league. I think Grimsby are certainly good for a draw in this game. Definitely, definitely, definitely good for a draw in this game as well. And again, you know, we just looked at Holroyd a moment ago, didn't we, in terms of the man who could be scoring goals for Macclesfield. And recently, there's been a bit of a spread in terms of Grimsby as to who scored, certainly at home, a lot of their goals. So you look at that headline offer here of Cook anytime and Grimsby to win at 8-1. It really isn't that bad a bet. Yes, there have been goals coming from absolutely everywhere. I'd rather, though, look at Hannah. I mean, if he's fully fit for this game, Ross Hannah, he's got 8 goals in 15 matches for them. And if you look at Ross Hannah, 11-4, and Cook 11-4, when he's got so few goals on in relation to Hannah, 11-4 for Hannah looks great. I'd go for another anytime goal scorer cast here, but I wouldn't mind a little nibble on Grimsby. So Hannah anytime and Grimsby is 6-1. I think Grimsby plus a goal at 5-6 is good. I think the whole meh bits of form for Huddersfield at the moment goes against them in this FA Cup tie.
Can you not do that again?
Meh.
Southend next up. They're playing Millwall. 21-10 price for Southend. 21-10 the draw. And Millwall are priced up at 7-5. Millwall beaten by Leicester City in the Championship on New Year's Day and landing Pete's even money nat. What a bet that was. Lovely bet. Yeah, it was good. Millwall without a win since beating Wigan on the 7th of December. As for Southend, well, they're in League 2, if you're not aware of that. Fourth place at the moment, so and doing pretty well. Only a point off Chesterfield in third. Their last win was a 2-1 win over Portsmouth. They went away and drew with Accrington, beat Wimbledon away from home. So they had a decent enough Christmas, to be fair, to Southend. I'm always intrigued by teams who are flying high. You know, Millwall have got lots on their plate away from the FA Cup, but then so have Southend. One of my other rules in the FA Cup, Pete, is if there's a disparity in terms of divisions, if a team is flying high and confident, even if they're two divisions away from the team who are lacking confidence and struggling for their lives, I've got to be with the lower league team if the confidence is there. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A really good lower league side against a really bad higher league side. Of course, depending on how many leagues there are between them, it's certainly not bad. And for there to be two between them, well, just one, I suppose, between them, isn't there?
Yeah.
League One, and then there's League Two where you find Southend. I think Southend are a fantastic bet again to qualify. Southend are 7-4. Now, that's mad to me, because when you consider that they're 21-10 on the outrights, and to qualify, you're getting them to win the game on Saturday, draw the game, and then, of course, win the next one, and you're getting that at only a tiny bit smaller price. 7-4 to qualify is fantastic here. It is fantastic. Why on earth would I want to be with Millwall? It's like the man who's in charge right now has said publicly he doesn't want the job. Have won just two games, just two matches they've won, and going back all the way towards September. They are in a real bit of trouble at the moment, Millwall. They can't get any run of form going. They're conceding goals all over the place. Three against Blackburn, two against Borough, four against Watford, three against Leicester. And you're getting a Southend side who are very, very, very good indeed. But at the same time, you know, Lee, they're fourth. They are sort of joint third, if you will, but it's just goal difference that has Chesterfield and the automatic promotion places in League Two at the moment. And they will know, though, that this isn't like they're 5 points off third and chasing it down. It's such a tight league that Phil Brown might say, listen, an FA Cup run will do us good. And don't forget, Phil Brown, you know, he knows about momentum. I know there's a lot of criticism about Phil Brown. I've met the guy on several occasions, and I've always found him to be actually a really nice bloke, if I'm honest with you. But more than that, he will want to try and keep a bit of momentum going, won't he? Because you'll know that at the moment in League Two, inconsistency is everywhere. And so therefore, trying to get any kind of consistency, any kind of momentum going is vital. I think to qualify Southend at 7-4 is absolutely magic.
Yeah, very nice. One little stat. I mean, Barry Corr's not been in great goal scoring form recently, but he's scored 9 goals in his last 11 FA Cup matches.
Well, that's a great stat.
11-4, score any time.
If I was looking at one player to score, it would probably be Ryan Leonard.
Yeah, yeah.
Honest with you, Lee, Ryan Leonard, he's come in. He scored against Portsmouth, and he's beginning to look absolutely frightening. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but my cat's actually playing football, which is ironic. A 7-1 Ryan Leonard.
Massive price.
It's huge. It is huge when you consider what this lad is starting to do.
He scored both, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got a brace against Portsmouth, yeah. And he's looking really, really impressive. He's 6 foot tall. He's a very clever midfielder. He's good in the air. I think 7-1 any time for Ryan Leonard has got to be on a fair few people's anytime goal scorer Akers for the weekend.
Yeah, very nice. Next up, let's have a look at Barnsley's home game against Coventry. Barnsley are priced up at 6-4 to win this one. It's 11-5 the draw, and Coventry are 9-5. Coventry 10th in League One, in decent nick at the minute. One defeat since the 26th of November. They had a torrid time at home in November. They lost 5-1 to Tranmere, and which when you look at what's happened to Tranmere, that's pretty poor. And lost 3-0 at home to Rotherham. Well, since then they've really battened down the hatches. Have been defeated by Swindon, who are right near them in the table. But that's the only defeat. And there's, as usual with Coventry's games, goals flying in. Barnsley can't buy a win at the minute, Pete, can they? Their last win was in the start of December when they beat Brighton, and that is the only win since mid-October. So they've gone a long time with just one win on the board. Which way do you go here?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, first of all, Stephen Presley, of course, was sent off, wasn't he, the other day. That means he's unlikely to be on the touchline, barring a quick appeal. On top of that, you're also looking at him being heavily linked with the Millwall job at the moment, although I can't, to be honest, see him taking that. He's doing a sensational job under difficult circumstances at Coventry at the moment. Again, you've got to be with Coventry here, I think. You've got to be with Coventry in this game, Lee. I mean, you look at it and Barnsley just can't get anything together. They're trying to sort the goalkeeping situation out if they can, but Danny Wilson at the moment is struggling to do that. They're not losing a huge amount of games in the last five, just losses, narrow losses to both Derby and Bolton, games in which they could, you could argue, have maybe stolen points as well. But I think Danny Wilson's focus is elsewhere. I don't think he uses this as a game to try and boost around him. I think his focus is elsewhere. I think he might shift and shuffle around ahead of the next Barnsley game, which I think is Charlton. I think it's Blackpool after, but I think it's Charlton first. He's going to focus on, I mean, look at the next two games for Barnsley, Charlton and Blackpool. He will know that both of those teams are eminently gettable, and he will, I'm sure, throw everything into that. This, understandably, I don't think will be a massive focus for him. So if I'm looking at this game right now and I'm thinking that Coventry at 9-5 can be a play, I think goals as well, Lee. I'm the same as you. I think over 2.5 goals and Coventry to win. I mean, over 2.5 in the match is 8-13, which in itself as an entity is really not bad at all. Coventry and overs is 13-5. They're both great because you're right, what you say, goals everywhere. And yes, under Danny Wilson, on the whole, Barnsley's goal per game ratio in terms of the amount just shrunk a little bit, only one overs in the last five games, but the point still remains that for me Coventry score and concede, we know the danger they've got going forward. We know that the most important thing for Coventry is keeping hold of their two main front men, isn't it? And if they can keep hold of these two guys have scored so many goals for them this season that despite, of course, a points deduction finds them 10th and chasing down the playoffs. I mean, that's got to be rule number one for Coventry, hasn't it? We've got to keep hold of Clark, we've got to keep hold of Wilson. And I think they probably will do, to be honest. I think Coventry and over 2.5 goals at 13-5, I think Danny Wilson really won't be too bothered about going out of the FA Cup at this stage.
Yeovil versus Leighton Orient is our final game that we'll concentrate on the FA Cup. Yeovil 6-4, 11-5 the draw, and Leighton Orient are priced up at 9-5. Yeovil second bottom of the Championship, Leighton Orient third in League One, so not an awful lot between these two clubs, and kind of goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, a confident team in a lower division have to be looked at closely, and you wonder, you know, again, you could make an argument that neither of these teams want a long FA Cup run because they've got bigger fish to fry, but Yeovil are just really hitting the buffers, Pete, aren't they? I mean, you know, the almost lucky the game was postponed against Watford, because the way they're conceding goals, they could have got a bit of a shellacking. Leighton Orient, their fans are getting a little bit worried that they're not playing as well as they were in the early start of the campaign. But look at their away form. That, you know, they lost to Stevenage, lost to Coventry. The Stevenage loss was in the Johnston's Paint. Lost to Coventry, but I mean, so few losses on the road. They've got to be buzzing going to Yeovil, haven't they?
Yeah, and Russell Slade will use this as a chance to try and get themselves boosted back up. If you remember, they had a great run of form. They drew a game. They then struggled in another one, and I think Russell Slade then banned the new FIFA, or certainly the club banned the new FIFA, didn't they?
Yeah.
And since then, it hasn't been, in terms of, you know, it hasn't been dreadful, but it certainly hasn't been how they started the season in that bombastic fashion. As for Yeovil, I've been very pro-Yeovil all year because I really like Gary Johnson. I really like how he manages teams. I really like what he says. I really like how he conducts himself, generally speaking, in terms of the... He's done on several occasions very sporting things on the field, and I'm a big fan of that. But Yeovil are understandably struggling, and they're beginning to look, I think, a little bit adrift, despite the fact that they and Barnsley... You know, they're above Barnsley. I think Barnsley's still got more of a chance, really, than Yeovil have, which is sad. I can't really be with Yeovil in this game. I think Russell Slade notices this moment, uses this moment to try and get the form back up, a really good confidence-boosting win. You beat a Championship side, Yeovil. Whereas for Gary Johnson, I think he says, look, we're at the FA Cup, we've got to focus. We've got big games, huge games coming up now. You know, we've got massive games. We've got Burnley, which I don't think we're going to have too much of a chance in, but we can give them a go. We've then got two eminently winnable games, Birmingham and Millwall. So I think he's going to focus much more on that. And I think for me personally, the optimal start here, Leighton Orient to qualify for the FA Cup fourth round at 11-10 gives you a draw. And then, of course, if it is a draw in this first leg, it goes back to Leighton Orient. And at Leighton Orient, you'd fancy them to beat Yeovil, wouldn't you? So I think the 11-10 for Leighton Orient to qualify is probably the big daddy there.
Very nice. We're not going to do like best bets in League 1 and League 2 because we've one, there's not many matches, and two, we're a bit unsure of where what's going to be played at the moment, Pete.
Yeah.
But you've got one up your sleeve just in case it survives.
Yeah, just in case it survives. I do think that Exeter are well worth a look for our listeners, pound or euro. If that is the part of the world in which you use euros.
I just like betting in euros even when I'm in the UK.
Yeah, it's really just awkward in shops.
Yeah, it's great.
Mansfield picked up a really good win the other day. Beat Cheltenham, destroyed Cheltenham, and it's a big, big boost for them. But they're not used to winning. And Exeter have been very, very decent indeed. Now, at home, they've been poor at St James's Park. Only scored in one of the last five home games. So that's an immediate worry for you, isn't it? And, you know, Mansfield beat Cheltenham 2-1, not 3-0. 2-1, Mansfield beat Cheltenham. And, you know, Cheltenham weren't good in that game. If this game survives, and I think it's probably a bit unlikely, I still want to back against Mansfield, who I really think are in an absolute world of trouble. 21-20 for Exeter looks very, very good indeed. If you want me to dance through one or two other League 2 games very quickly as well, Lee, I think there could be value in one or two of the others as well. Again, depending on what's on, man. I drove to Northampton and got to the ground before the game was called off and just drove home again. So I understand fans' frustrations, but you know, I'm luckier because I get paid, whereas fans don't, and it will have cost fans money, so I appreciate their frustration with that. I think Newport have a really good chance in Wales if, again, it's on to beat Northampton. Wimbledon have just signed some interesting young players as well. I think they have a good chance away at Wickham. I think Morecambe at 9-5 away at Torquay. Torquay, of course, have just sacked Alan Nil. I think that's an interesting bet as well. I think Dagenham and Redbridge at 11-5 are eminently backable away at York. Was impressed by what I saw in the second half from Dagenham and Redbridge a couple of weeks back. And I do think Accrington are overpriced away at Portsmouth at 14-5. They would just be very quick kind of overviews of those games.
Yeah, very good. Let's do both teams to score a double. Didn't cop again last week. So I'm gonna stick to the FA Cup this week and pick two Championship sides who are playing Premier League opposition. First of all is Blackburn Man City. This one's on TV at 12:45 actually, so you can watch this one. 10-11 both teams to score. Anyone who follows City will know that their away form isn't winning games, but they concede for fun. 12 of their 15 away games in all competitions, so there is Bayern Munich in there, has featured both teams to score, and I think obviously they'll weaken down. Still a very good side, but I think with the likes of Jordan Rhodes in the ranks, that Blackburn can nick one, even in a 3-1 defeat or something like that. The other one is Stoke versus Leicester. Stoke, I think, will want to progress in this competition, but will still make some changes. And I think as much as Leicester have got their eye on the Championship prize, I don't think they're the sort of side who lay down and die. So both teams to score there is 10-11. 10 of Leicester's 14 away games in all competitions have featured both teams scoring. So 10-11 equals 2.64-1 double. Both landed our naps last week on the last round of games, Pete.
Yeah, where are we at? Where am I at now? Because I've had a decent 6 weeks.
Well, you know, I said I was going to do the standings.
Yeah,
there may have been a lie in that. Well, it wasn't a lie when I did it, but I've not done it. I'm just going to own up and say I haven't done it, but I will do it for you. I will do it next time. I'm guessing. If I had to guess, I would say that I would be £70 ahead.
Right, but am I closer to being out of the red now? I must be quite.
I don't know. I've got no idea.
I must be a lot closer to being out of the red.
I will do it. I promise. I'll have time to do it next week, so I will definitely do it. I just haven't had time. You know, just things happen, don't they, Pete? In life, time dwindles away. But I landed as well at 15-8 for Ryan Lowe.
Yeah, good shout. That very good.
Well,
shout.
I stuck by him and he delivered, thankfully. Where are you going this time?
Well, I mean, very briefly, was one of the market I've forgotten to mention, which was. I really do like, I know you'll cover this in the punt, but
no, don't, go
I'm
ahead.
Better than Derek McGovern. So 6-5 Stoke to beat Leicester.
Yeah.
I think it's the absolute key for Mark Hughes to just get a bit of, I mean, Stoke aren't doing terribly, of course. You know, if he'd have given Stoke, what, 14th, I think, are they in the Premier League, something like that? If he'd given him that pre-season, I think he'd have taken it.
Mm.
But I think for Leicester, they've had a really good League Cup run. They find themselves top of the league, but knowing how close they've come in recent years and bottled it,
yeah.
I really don't think Nigel Pearson will even blink an eyelid if they go out to Premier League Stoke.
No.
He can go, oh, we lost to a Premier League side. So, I mean, for example, if they were hosting Grimsby or Macclesfield, he's kind of, in a way, got to go for that a little bit.
Yeah.
But going against the Premier League side, he's got to go, oh, it's Premier League side, we're out, we can focus on that. Because they've had a good cup run in the League Cup, so that's fine. So just very quickly, I think that Stoke at 6-5 is fantastic.
Yeah, there were a few of those, actually, Pete. I think, you know, again, like as Pete says, we do discuss it on the punt, but I think, you know, when you look at, there's a few games that are similar for me. I think Southampton-Burnley is a similar kind of idea.
Yeah.
You know, Burnley can, you can go, neither of us are saying that they're going to throw the game, but you can go out of it with your head held high. They're, you know, Southampton 4-7. I mean, Everton are very short against QPR. QPR are 8-1 at Everton, but it's a similar kind of game, I think. And even Villa versus Sheffield United, you know, Villa are 1-2, which is no sort of price.
Well, yeah, but to be honest, with the Villa one, it's slightly different because Paul Lambert has all but said publicly he doesn't care, hasn't
but
he?
Then again, you know, you talk to, you know, obviously we're talking to Ron about that, and he said the Villa fans would go crazy if they didn't win that game. You know, they need to. The FA Cup has got some, you know, it's got some lustre. The Cups, Villa fans still think, you know, we need to do well in the Cup. So, you know, there are a few home Premier League teams. If you stuck them in Knackers, Villa, Everton, Southampton, Stoke, Sunderland, Liverpool. Liverpool gets Oldham, Sunderland gets Carlisle. They're all short prices, but they all need to
Liverpool
win.
Liverpool won revenge, aren't they, over Oldham?
Yeah, well, this is the third year in a trot they've played them. They beat them 5-1, then lost last year, didn't they?
Well, it was just after they lost, really. It wasn't too long after that Paul Dickov lost his job at Oldham, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. It was crazy, wasn't it? So, yeah, there's a few interesting ones where I think team news is crucial still, though. It's been a hard few weeks for all the divisions. When I was saying it, Derek McGovern told me that thing I said earlier on about the, you know, lower league teams being a confident lower league team. It's interesting. Derek McGovern was told that by by Harry Redknapp once. Derek wrote Harry Redknapp's book, his original book, and he told him that, and I think this is really interesting, that in the world of football, whether you're a Premier League team or you're a conference team, on any given day, there is not that much difference between the level a footballer can get at any level. Now, obviously, if you're talking Man City and the stellar teams that they have, and Chelsea, I suppose, then you've got to take a bit of that into consideration.
But
generally, you know, a footballer who plays for a non-league team on a really good day can match a Premier League team of it equal, but what they can't do is they can't maintain any sort of consistency against them. So that's why you can get on any given day, you can get up to, now maybe going Premier League, non-leagues a bit, taking it a bit far, but when we're talking about some of the games that we've talked about today, we're talking about Leyton Orient Yeovil. You can see how Leyton Orient at 9-5 could easily match Yeovil's level.
I think that comes down to mentality rather than actual skill of the players. But it's
a soggy pitch, a bad weather. There's a lot of things. A top Premier League player going to, you know, somewhere where the changing rooms aren't quite as nice. I know it seems kind of stupid to say it, but let's be fair. It does come true, doesn't it? So, so Naps then?
Yeah, my Naps going to have to be, and it might not actually land this weekend. but it's going to have to be for me. Southend to qualify over Millwall.
Right.
At 7-4. I think they are going great guns under Phil Brown at the moment. I think they're a scary, scary looking side. I think with being able to bring in young players like Ryan Leonard and begin to develop them, and he looks very, very, very good indeed at 7-1. They've got players like Kevin Hurst, who's having an absolutely stonking season, and he really is. Anthony Straker down the left-hand side is a constant danger. Freddie Eastwood's getting back to fitness now as well against the Millwall side, who... I don't know where they are. I don't think they know where they are.
No.
They're just a bit lost at the moment. And I think for me personally speaking, I think Southend to qualify, and I emphasise to qualify at 7-4, it might not land for you this weekend, but it's certainly a great bet. If you want one though, as I suppose I should give, for you to land this weekend, which I suppose is the whole point of this thing, so that people have money to carry on betting on other things. I think really for me, ultimately for me, it's worth opposing Yeovil. I think 9-5 for Leyton Orient would probably have to be my nap of the weekend.
So you're going Leyton Orient then?
I'm going Leyton Orient, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think the best bet that's available...
You can have Southend if you want.
I think the best bet that's available is Leyton Orient. But okay. I think the best bet available, I should say, is Southend to qualify. Yeah. But I appreciate people will want something that has a chance of landing this weekend, which I suppose Southend does. But if it's a draw, of course, it doesn't. And you've got to wait for another game before you get that return. So I'll take Leyton Orient at 9-5.
Okay, I'm going to go for Jordan Rhodes to score any time against Man City at 2-1 in that match. I think they'll concede. Yeah, I think they'll concede. Man City in that game. I think they'll weaken down a little bit and they'll concede to Blackburn. So I'll stick with that one. Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, mate.
Very enjoyable. Good luck if you're having a bet on any of the FA Cup matches or the Gillingham game. We'll be back next week for more of the same. Thank you very much for downloading the podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.